This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The actor Mark Ruffalo has a character-sized role in a big movie at the moment. He's in the new Tom Cruise film, Collateral. And starting today, you can see him playing the lead role in a small film. In We Don't Live Here Anymore, Ruffalo plays the very unhappy and philandering husband of Laura Dern. The setting is a college town in the Northeast. It may remind Ruffalo's fans of his first starring role in You Can Count on Me. He also co-starred with Meg Ryan in the movie In the Cut. Mark Ruffalo trained as an actor in Los Angeles over many years, auditioning by day, bartending by night. He is from Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that is where Day to Day's Noah Adams interview with him begins. What did that Wisconsin accent sound like?
It sounds a bit like Minnesota. Oh, gosh, Mark, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, it has a little nasal thing to it. Steak and Eggers. You having steak and Eggers? Most of my training ended up being in Los Angeles with Stella Adler. And when I showed up there, they immediately rushed me into speech and voice, and they told me I had a big problem.
As in therapy, let's go, right?
Yeah. The first thing you're going to have to do is get rid of that accent. Your voice is much too high. You need to drop your voice. You hear them use their voice as sort of an instrument and in a way to really express kind of a deeper emotion by connecting those emotions to your voice.
In We Don't Live Here Anymore, your role is Jack, and he is a college professor. Larry Gross, the screenwriter, told The New York Times, that role was the hardest to cast, meaning yours. He is strong and weak, sympathetic and schlubby.
Schlubby. Yeah.
So how do you find a voice? I mean, do you think about that? How do you find a voice for Jack?
It sort of comes out of daydreaming about the character for me. I'll read something and immediately I'll get an image. My wife says to me, she's like, you go through a physiological change, you know. I ended up gaining, you know, 10 pounds for that part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like the character's depressed. And I know the nature of depression. And it kind of deadens speech, you know. It kind of makes speech sort of deaden and kind of fall off a little bit and not quite make it across all the way. And the voice sort of comes out of a physicalization of the character in a way.
It occurred to him that what had seemed impossible before, that he had not spent his life as he should have, might after all be true. His professional duties and the whole arrangement of his life and of his family might all have been false.
The movie with Meg Ryan in The Cut, Jane Campion's film, which is dark and terrifying and set in New York, and Meg Ryan is being, there's a serial killer, Meg Ryan is involved, and your role is a New York homicide detective,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
That seemed to me, as I remember it, a little bit of a harder-edged voice. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. He's, it's colder. It's, this is a man who cannot for a moment have any sort of self-doubt. Otherwise, he's done on the streets. And I end up spending quite a lot of time with the homicide detectives. And they have a clipped sort of hard quality. And it comes from a very studied sort of survival technique for them on the streets.
Miss, how you doing? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
Am I supposed to get in?
You want to talk on the street? Never think it's a good idea putting your business on the street, you know what I mean?
That was a fairly big budget picture. This one, We Don't Live Here Anymore, is a very small film about four people who are, in a way, sometimes they're acting like, they are acting less mature than their children.
Correct.
In this picture. They're just wrapped up in this sort of vortex of infidelity. And the audience has got to squirm a little bit. Why did you find it appealing to go to this story?
I was initially frightened by the material, frankly. But what my first reaction was is there's something so honest about a relationship in crisis here. And I hadn't seen a manifestation of it quite that way in film, ever. And I just thought, this is worth being seen.
Was it a big movie or a small movie that told you, sitting there in the dark, that you had to be an actor?
I guess at the time it would be considered a big film. It was Streetcar Named Desire.
Marlon Brando and Kim Stanley, is that who it was?
Yeah, Marlon Brando, Kim Stanley, and Vivian Leigh. And Carl Malden, of course. And it was one of the key moments for me. And I was too young to really realize what the experience was. But
Where was the theater?
It was the world premiere of Streetcar Named Desire on the television, and my mom let me stay up to watch it. I think I was like seven or eight years old.
Wow.
And it was the acting. You know, it wasn't the medium so much as it was the acting. And I was just floored by it. I just remember just watching it going, I'd like to do that. I don't know what that is really, but that looks fun. Or, you know, it just really touched me. And it's odd because that film today looks more like an independent film. I don't think you can make that film in a studio today. I don't know if they would go for that, you know.
This is a very small film, and when I thought about this question, I'm obviously going to ask you, will you continue to do small films as you get offered bigger and bigger roles? It's kind of like asking a singer-songwriter, when you become famous, are you still going to play the small venues, you know, in a way?
I suppose.
They always say yes, by the way.
They always say yes, I'm going to,
yeah.
But they rarely ever do.
<That's right. laughs>
The difference is that, you know, a singer-songwriter still carries the same material with them no matter where they go. And it still means the same to them. You know, as you go into the bigger pictures, you sort of lose some of the more interesting character stuff. And it's actually, in the past 10 years, has really changed. And the studios are starting to see that these smaller character dramas are drawing an audience. There's money to be made in them.
Mark Ruffalo, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Noah.
The movie We Don't Live Here Anymore opens today in New York and Los Angeles. And for more, go to our website, npr.org.